Girls who speak Klingon? Totally hot. You're listening to the Nutty Bites podcast.
Hello, mixed nutcases. It's Nukchas, and I am finally getting down to doing the Nutty Year in Review. I meant to do this a while ago. I actually meant to do this over Christmas. I had tech with me. I had the encaffeinated one. At one point, we even had Mark Cabot from Epic. I thought it'd be a lot of fun and do it roundtable style. But the problem when you're having so much fun is that you forget to pull out the recorder and you forget to record things. So we're going to do the year in review right now.
What I'm watching.
So I'm just going to go over a few quick things. A lot of what was new to me this year was not new this year. So anything that wasn't new this year, I discounted and left out. First, I'm going to discuss movies, and in no particular order. Here are the movie highlights for me this year. We've got The Hobbit. I haven't talked about that yet on Nutty Bites because I haven't done a regular show since seeing it. There's a couple on here, actually. The Hobbit and Life of Pi I haven't discussed yet, but I'm going to tell you right now. The Hobbit, I loved. I know that there's some people who think it was too long. Some people weren't as happy with the fact that it's being split into three movies, but honestly, I am a fan of long movies, so I had no problem with the length. Yeah, there were a couple of scenes that, on my second watching, might have dragged on a bit, but I still enjoyed it a lot. There are some stuff from other writings of Tolkien's in there, some stuff from Lord of the Rings, just filling in a little extra backstory that we find out about when you read Lord of the Rings. Did it need to be there? Maybe not, but you know what? It was nice. It was a good nod to the rabid Tolkien fans. I mean, there are people out there that have read every single thing he's written multiple times. So that was kind of a nice nod there. There are some people who said that it was a bit too silly. Well, honestly, if you read The Hobbit, it's a lot sillier than Lord of the Rings. It's meant to be more of an adventure story instead of an epic tale. It is my favorite. I have read The Lord of the Rings twice, maybe three times. I can't remember. But not, you know, I really struggled finishing it when I went through my reread because it's just so long and arduous and there's so much stuff in there that does not matter to the story. When I read The Hobbit, I breeze right through it. And I have reread that in the double digits. I mean, I love The Hobbit. Growing up, I loved The Hobbit. Yeah, the cartoon was bad, but it was just a reminder of how wonderful the book was, and it's one of my favorite books from childhood. Martin Freeman was perfect. The dwarves were done really well. Heck, Ian McKellen as Gandalf? I like him so much better in The Hobbit. Again, because Gandalf is cooler when he's the gray and nobody knows that he's cool and you kind of wonder who is this weirdo that comes around and does fireworks. So I really enjoyed it. And honestly, I would have been happy paying my $10 to watch Martin Freeman make funny faces throughout the entire movie. Because honestly, it's great. Plus, hello, one of the doctors was in it. Next, I'm going to talk about Life of Pi. Life of Pi, another book that I absolutely love. This half of the movies here are books that I loved. Life of Pi was written by Jan Martel, and I read it a long time ago. And I think I've read it twice. Not many times, but I love the book anyway, and I've had many discussions. It's kind of circled my friends and my family, and every time I hear somebody say that they haven't read it, I tell them to read it. It's a very thin book. You can get through it very, very quickly. And it's the story of a boy who was his ship. He was traveling with his family and some animals, and his ship went down and things happened. And I don't want to spoil anything because for me, the best part of the book is that little flip at the end and your perspective on all events changes or perhaps could change. And so I don't want to spoil that for anyone, but the movie I was skeptical about. I didn't think that they were going to be able to tell the movie properly. Honestly, I couldn't imagine being able to tell a story with so many animals and the visuals, but they did it really well. I watched it in 3D. I think it would probably be just as good out of 3D, but I don't know. It was really nice, and there really wasn't any annoying 3D that I can remember. I get annoyed by some 3D, as you well know. But it was really good and really well done. Unfortunately, the theater we were in, a lot of people didn't get it and were laughing at inappropriate times. For instance, they couldn't understand why this young man, who was a vegetarian his whole life, was raised vegetarian, worked in a zoo, grew up in a zoo, why he was crying after killing a fish. Like, that was silly for him to be upset over. And it just bothered me to hear some of the reactions. But the movie was great. I haven't talked to too many people who have seen the movie, though, so I don't know what the general feeling was. All right, so I'm also going to mention The Dark Knight Rises. We cap off the entire trilogy of the Nolan Batman movies, and everyone knows I love Batman and everything, and it was good. It was really good, and I remember at the time thinking that it was better than the second one. I think they're both on par now that I've had some time to step back from it and have a look at it. I'd have to watch them back to back to make that judgment again. I still think it was really good. I still have my nitpicks with it, but yeah, it was a good end to that series. I know they're already filming the next Batman movies and whatever. I don't know what they're doing. I know that part of the reason why they have to keep remaking these franchises is so that they hold on to the proper licensing and things like that. And a lot of it has to do with things that have nothing to do with story. But I would really like to see a movie dealing with a comic book character where can we not go through the whole origin story? Can we just skip to the end and jump into a story with them already as the hero? Because that can be so interesting. And that actually works really well into the next movie, The Avengers. Each of the characters of the Avengers, well, not each of them, most of them had their own movies dealing with their origins, and you got into it and everything. And some of them were better than others. My opinion, Captain America was the best of all the first movies having to do with the Avengers, and the Hulk was the worst. So there's a bit of a sliding scale there. But the Avengers worked so well. Now, I know that, did we need all of those in order to tell a good story? I don't know. I think the Avengers was a nice perfect storm of a lot of good things. But the Avengers was a great movie because we didn't need to deal with the origins. We could just get into the meat of the story, and that was great. A breakaway smash hit, Cabin in the Woods. It's been sitting on a shelf for a few years before it was finally able to be released. I think it was one of the last MGM movies. Blew me away. That movie was so good. Not only was it so good, how good was it, Nutty? It was so good that I paid theater prices, real theater prices, not the cheap theater, but real theater prices to see it in the theaters a couple of times. That's right. And it was fantastic. That was a highlight for me. And here's another one that I paid multiple times. No, I didn't pay multiple times. I meant to pay multiple times to go see this in the theater. I wanted to see this again in the theater, but it didn't come to the second theater, and I was kind of waiting for it to do that. Yeah. The thing is, here in town, we've got the big multiplex. When I say big, it's a little laughable in comparison to some of the multiplexes you might be coming up with your mind. But there's the multiplex. And then there's the cheap theater, which is around the corner from me, and it's on base. And the cheap theater has a better screen. So when there's a really nice movie, I want to see it at the cheap theater. So it's win-win. But it didn't come to that theater. Prometheus, which is the Aliens and all of that prequel. I I think I read somewhere that the Blade Runner universe is also the same universe as Aliens. So there's a lot of tie-ins there. And I love that movie. It was so good. As a fan of the other movies and as a fan of good story and visually, it was gorgeous. It just had a lot of good things going for it. I really enjoyed it. The Hunger Games. I read these books a couple years ago. Actually, when I first started this podcast is when I got those books. And I was really happy to see the on-screen representation of this. Yeah, there are some nitpicks and so forth, as there always are. And we can make fun of it all we want. But when it comes down to it, it's still a pretty good story. And it was pretty good. And another favorite, I'm bookending it. The first movie I talked about was a favorite of my childhood books, and the last one is a favorite of my childhood. And this is a series of books. I'm talking about John Carter, and it got critically panned for no reason. There was no reason to pan it. It was really good. Granted, perhaps part of the reason is that the 3D was atrocious. Was it atrocious? I think it was atrocious. I remember ranting about the 3D, didn't I? I think so. I think this was one of the 3Ds that looked like paper cutouts. It was really bad. It didn't need to be 3D. It would have been gorgeous without the 3D, and that might have been part of it. Also, people just didn't... I hate to say people didn't get it, because that just means that my opinion's more than others, and that's not true. It's just sometimes I feel that reviewers don't put things into context, and I also have very low opinion of professional reviewers lately. Independent reviewers I've actually found to be much more spot on and more critical. The big reviewers seem to like the movies that are paying their publisher high dollars in sponsorship. And they also tend to look at every movie as if it's supposed to be some epic masterpiece, this wonderful film that should be getting Oscars. And if you don't live up to it, if you're not The Piano or Schindler's List, they don't want to hear anything about it. And I know sometimes you just want a movie. And when it comes to John Carter, the source material, they were pulp novels and mostly read by kids, or at least I read it as a kid, and this movie captured that childhood wonder, and I loved it, and I totally intend to buy myself a copy. I was kind of hoping I'd have one by now, but I don't. John Carter was a really fun movie, and I hope they make more. I don't know if they will, though. I don't know. We'll see.
What am I listening to? You don't know, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know what I am listening to.
Podcasts. All right, so I'm discounting any shows that started in 2011. Some of them started in the fall, and I started listening to them in 2012, but I'm sorry. If you started in 2011, your podcast didn't make the cut. The other thing is, there's a lot of podcasts that started this year that I started listening to that have podfaded. What does podfaded mean? That means you haven't updated in multiple months, and you haven't said, by the way, I'm not going to be updating for a while because of X, Y, or Z, or we're taking a, you know, seasonal break or whatever. Yeah. So the podcasts that I got into this year that are continuing is, and again, in no particular order, I'm going to start with the Dexter Cast. That's right, the Dexter Cast. It is an intro cast. I have been a guest on it, and it was started by Bob DeGran. And with him, his fellow hosts are Rachel, Thena, and Janice. And they are going through episode by episode chronicling Dexter, the Showtime series about a serial killer that only kills bad people. And what I like about their show, which is a little bit different, is because Dexter is still going, what they did was they actually had two episodes where they got nothing but veterans to the show to come on and talk about what's going on in the latest season. and talk about their theories and so forth, which is really nice because they can talk about the current project without spoiling their newbies. And they've been very good at not spoiling their newbies, which is nice because it's really hard when a series is going on for your newbies not to get spoiled because everybody's talking about it. Up next, we've got the Red Dwarf podcast. And again, we've got another issue here with, that's right, Red Dwarf has a Series X that they are, this year they came out of retirement. There is another series. It's one of these great things that British shows can do where all of a sudden they can have another season many, many years later. And it's not like a big reunion show or whatever. Whereas in the US, that never happens. But the Red Dwarf, Red Dwarf is a science fiction sitcom that has been going on since the 80s, I believe, and it's hysterical. I absolutely love it, and it's pretty much a big pop icon, very popular over in the UK and surrounding areas, a little bit less known in the US, and those of us in the US who've seen all of it or most of it probably got introduced to it by watching it on PBS. What they've got there is they've got Shane and Paul are the veterans, and they're introducing a husband and wife, Heath and Angela, to listening to Red Dwarf. And it's funny. I've been a guest on it. Tech has been a guest on it. It cracks me up. I want to have everybody on that show over to dinner or hang out at a con or whatever because they're a blast. The next show I'm going to talk about is Epic. Epic is a radio show and a podcast. And the cool thing about Epic is I joke around that Epic and Nutty Bites are brother and sister podcasts sometimes. Epic is actually recorded and aired on the radio station that I volunteer at here in Fredericton, New Brunswick. So I got introduced to Epic by getting introduced to the main host, Mark Cabot. Met him this summer. He had just started it, I believe, or was pretty new into it, downloaded some episodes and said, hey, that almost sounds like a Nutty Debate. And we've actually covered topics that the other one has covered. And I've been on Epic quite a bit now, to the point that whenever they record, he sends out an email. And if I'm available, I jump in. And if they've got too many people, like for instance, recently, they just interviewed Robert Mallet from 300, Get Smart, and there's another movie. Oh, Sherlock Holmes. There were just too many people for me to show up. So it's great. It's a really fun podcast. I highly recommend you listen to it. And again, it's another PG podcast like mine that you can listen to and, you know, not worry about little ones' ears. And then we've got Intro to X or Intro Talks. Intro Talks, as people call it. It is another intro cast where Robin Burge is taking his hosts through episode by episode the episodes of X-Files. Now, I'm a newbie to X-Files as well, and as I am recording this, they are going to be recording this week the last episode in season one that I have watched. So I'm actually going to have to stop listening and watch some episodes of X-Files so I can start listening again because they're about to pass me. It's a lot of fun. They go through it in a little bit different style than some of the other intro casts, which is nice because not every intro cast has the same format. So you gotta come up with your own theme to it. They have a feature where they talk about the monster of the week and they rate it on different criteria. And one of the hosts, Claire, is always talking about how everything in X-Files links back to Pennywise the Clown, which is another fun thing to listen to. They have a lot of people call in to the point where their call-in segment could almost be its own segment. And some of their call-in listeners kind of have their own cult following. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. So listen to that. That's right. And if we look at my podcast list, I am going to say that 2012, I was having trouble trying to figure out what 2012 was going to be the year of. Well, as it turns out, 2012 was the year of intro casts. And I'm going to be working on trying to get a bunch of different hosts and listeners of IntroCast together. And I want to record a nutty debate or a roundtable discussion, something like that, talking about IntroCast, because it's an interesting phenomenon. And it's definitely taken over my podcast listening. I've got a lot more IntroCasts than I do fiction on my iPod right now. Although I will say, I've listened to quite a lot of fiction this year, too. But nothing that started and ended, or started and continued in 2012, so it didn't make the list. So that's what I've got for my year in review.
Do you like movies? Well, let me make you an offer that you can't refuse. Have you ever found yourself standing at the local Cineplex with that smell of freshly buttered popcorn wafting through your nostrils, wondering if that new Hugh Jackman movie is really worth your time? Or have you ever lamented about that time you spent scouring the vast expanse of the internet for movie and DVD release dates when, let's be honest, you'd rather be leveling up your Troll Hunter, working on the great American novel, or even watching kitten videos? Oh yes, I said kitten videos. I will do the work for you. All I ask is 15 to 30 minutes of your time every Tuesday. My name is Michael Faulkner, and every Tuesday is showtime at the weekly Podioplex, your audio guide to what's new at the box office, how the top 10 fared over the weekend, and what's coming to your home theater on DVD and Blu-ray. You can find the weekly Podioplex on the Chronic Rift Network at www.chronicrift.com, along with a plethora of other podcasts that explore the culture in pop culture. The weekly Podioplex, brought to you by the Chronic Rift. Thanks for listening. We'll see you at the theater.
That's a wrap!
Hold on to your trousers, it's time for feedback.
And before we go away, I am going to talk a little bit about feedback. That's right, we've got some feedback here. I've been collecting it. Some of it's a while old. We've got feedback for Nutty Bites 37 through 39. So Jay says, in regards to Nutty Bites 37, great episode. You were great company while I got ready for work this morning. Thanks. And you're welcome, Jay. I hope I'm keeping you company this morning as well. If I'm keeping you company in the evening, well, that's good too. I like that. That's what I like about podcasts is I work from home, so I'm alone a lot. And when I listen to podcasts, I don't feel like I'm alone. That's right. The voices in my head are keeping me company. But that's okay. You don't have to commit me because I'm using earbuds. All right. Next we've got, and this is a new Twitter follower. I hope I get this right. Decanton L10N. New Chess, I just subscribed to Nutty Bites. Seems really interesting. Probably your first listener from Argentina. And you know what? I don't know. Are you my first listener from Argentina? You're the only listener from Argentina that I know by name. So if any of you out there are listening from Argentina, send me a message. Let me know. Is Decanton alone? I know I've got somebody in Brazil. Does that help? I know Brazil and Argentina are completely opposite parts of that continent. Don't worry. That's the only other South American country I can think of. So Donahue says, the Borg are low-rent Cybermen, in reference to Nutty Bites 38. That was our favorite villains episode. Yes and no. But we could have a whole debate about Cybermen versus the Borg. I often wonder. That would make a great comic, don't you think? Maybe an audio drama. We could do that as an audio drama. That would be fun. And feedback from the website. Baron says, in regards to Nutty Bites 38, my favorite villain would be GLaDOS from Portal 1 and 2. Did we not mention GLaDOS? GLaDOS is the best! I just watched recently Tech and Caffeinated One go through the cooperative mode of Portal 2. Oh my gosh, GLaDOS was cracking me up. Ella McClain is fantastic. And if you're not listening to Disaster Piece Theater, you need to go look up the episode where she was on it. She cracks me up. She's fantastic. And you can hear them pitch the idea of a movie of Ella McClain with John McClane, and it's a whole diehard thing. It's really bizarre and a lot of fun. Next, we've got feedback for Nutty Bites 39. Just released it, and we've already got feedback. Tibby says, great show. On the subject of current puppet musical, there's Neil's Puppet Dreams, lots of awesome, with a side of Nathan Fillion. And you know what? You're absolutely right. After I recorded the interview and debate with Paul and Storm, I found out about Neil's puppet dream. I didn't know about it before then, but that's really funny. And again, inappropriate humor with puppets. That's Neil Patrick Harris. He's got his own little webisode. He goes through weird things. He's dreaming a lot. I think the first one that I saw, he was in the doctor's office and he's got a puppet downstairs. It's a little adult, but very funny. And again, Nathan Fillion. And who doesn't want a little bit of Nathan Fillion sprinkled in there? You know, if we could get Nathan Fillion on Nutty Bites, oh, that would be beyond awesome. Mary Kate says the Dingoes. That is her favorite fictional band. That would be the Dingoes from Buffy, Oz's band, which was the actual band was Four Star Mary. And Four Star Mary are awesome because they let Buffy Between the Lines use their music, which was really great. And that was a fan project that I was involved in with Between the Lines Studios. If you haven't listened to it, go take a listen. If you're a newbie to Buffy and you're still going through it, wait till you finish everything and then go back to it. Yeah, there's a lot of cross show references, not just Whedon shows. Like, there's even Veronica Mars references in there. It's hysterical. Then we've got from Bob DeGran. I had a couple that weren't mentioned. The O'Neaters or the Wonders. From That Thing You Do, that played that one song over and over again in that movie. You remember that. I even play a couple of their songs. And Dingoes, Ate My Baby from Buffy. That's right. You know, I got a lot of people telling me that they liked Dingoes from Buffy, which is pretty neat. Although I have to wonder, I mean, as cool as Dingoes were, do they really beat out Wild Stallions? Do they beat out Wild Stallions doing a side project with Josie and the Pussycat covering The Bear and the Maiden Fair? I don't know. But let me know, what's your favorite fictional band? Because there's a lot of them out there. And every time somebody brings one up, it's awesome.
I'm Mike Luoma. I write science fiction and podcast free chapters each week on my glow-in-the-dark radio. I do that because you might not know me yet, but my work has been drawing comparisons to Heinlein, Clark, and Bradbury. Cool, huh? Actually, it was Ain't It Cool who made the Bradbury comparison. My new book is Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her. Alibi is trying to find the Sunrise of Her, a lost artifact belonging to the cat-like race, the Dakur. You can hear chapters right now. Find out more about me and all my books at glowinthedarkradio.com.
Speaking of awesome, don't forget to check out the Mixed Nutcase Facebook group. That's right. If you go to facebook.com/groups/nuttybites, you will find the Mixed Nutcase group. That's right. I was able to make an easy URL, so you don't have to go to the website to find it. Just go on facebook.com/groups/nuttybites, or just type Mixed Nutcase into your search bar in Facebook and you'll find us. We've got the nutty question of the day, which is always fun. And we've got other listeners asking random questions. Like, for instance, this week we've got Julie asking people to give her shows for her son to watch because he just finished with Star Trek, TNG, Doctor Who, Torchwood, and Firefly. We need to feed this geek, and I can tell you there's many comments feeding this geek, which is awesome. That's right. We're going to grow some geeks up in here. All right, so I'm going to wrap things up. I just want to mention really quickly a couple of things that should really go into a regular podcast, but I'm afraid I'm not going to cover it. A couple of movies that I saw recently, Scott Pilgrim Saves the World. Finally saw it. Yes, it was everything that everybody told me it would be. And I got to see Iron Sky, which was hysterical. I want to watch Iron Sky again and maybe record a special review for that. I don't know. I'll let you know. Anyway, talk to you later. Stay awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
They added stuff from the I'm going to mispronounce that. Sommelier. Oh, I can't say it right now. I can't say the word right now. There, Life of Pi. Life All right, so I'm going to talk about podcast. Like I said, I'm discounting any podcast that started in 2001. So there are some that had to go because they started in the fall of 2011.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.